जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस सुख प्रोजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतशील ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री रूपोपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस सुख प्रोजकाचार्य भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड की जय वृंदावन धाम की जय मथुरा धाम की जय पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय श्री मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय गंगा माई की जय यमुना माई की जय तुलसी देवी की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे और ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज और ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय उदीरे नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड द पासिंग अवे ऑफ भीष्मदेव in the presence of Lord Krishna, text 13. Samstite tirate pando Krutha bala prajavadu Yushmukrute bahun kleshan Prapta toka vatimuhu संस्थिते तिरते पांडो पुथा बाल प्रजावदू Yushmat krute bahun kleshan prapta toka vatimuhu sanskite tirate pando prutha bala prajavadu yushmat krute bahun kleshan prapta toka vatimuhu ಯುಷ್ಮತ್ಕೃತೆ ಬಹುನ್ ಕ್ಲೇಶಾನ್ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಾ ತೋಕವತೀಮು ಸಂಸ್ಥಿತೆ ತಿರತೆ ಪಾಂಡೋ ಪೃಥಾ ಬಾಲ ಪ್ರಜಾವಧೂ ಯುಷ್ಮತ್ಕೃತೆ ಬಹುನ್ ಕ್ಲೇಶಾನ್ ಮಾತಾಜೀ ಓಕೆ ಸಂಸ್ಥಿತೆ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದ ಡಿಮೈಸ್ ಅತಿರಥೆ ಆಫ್ ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಜನರಲ್ ಪಾಂಡವ್ ಪಾಂಡು ತಥಾ ಕುಂತಿ ಬಾಲ ಪ್ರಜಾ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಯಂಗ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ವಧು ಮೈ ಡಾಟರ್ ಇನ್ ಲಾ ಯುಷ್ಮತ್ ಕೃತೆ ಆನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಅಕೌಂಟ್ ಬಹುನ್ ಮಲ್ಟಿಫೆರಿಷಸ್ ಕ್ಲೇಶ ಅಫೆಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತ ಅಂಡರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ತೋಕವತಿ ಇನ್ ಸ್ಪೈಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರೋನ್ ಅಪ್ ಬಾಯ್ಸ್ ಮುಹು ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಟಂಟ್ಲಿ. So the translation is, as far as my daughter-in-law Kunti is concerned, upon the great general Pandu's death, she became a widow with many children, and therefore she suffered greatly. And when you were grown up, she suffered a great deal also because of your actions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sufferings of Kunti Devi are doubly lamented. She suffered greatly because of early widowhood and to get her minor children brought up in the royal family. And when her children were grown up, she continued to suffer because of her son's actions. So her sufferings continued. This means that she was destined to suffer by providence, and this one has to tolerate without being disturbed. ಓಮ ಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮಿಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿನಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರೋಷ್ಟವಾಂಶ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದಾನ್ ಸಹ ಗಣ ಲಲಿತನಾಥ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಶ ನಮಾಂ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀನ್ ಇತಿ ನಾಮಿನೆ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೀ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶಾತ್ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣೇ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧೂಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ನಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here, and those who are also watching this lecture online through YouTube or any other channels. So, in this verse, there is a background to this particular verse that greatness of a Vaishnava. So, Bhishma Dev, he is lying on his deathbed, waiting, and he is so many great souls, personalities have come, including Lord Krishna also is there. And at the time of death, the great souls, how they are expressing their gratitude. It is very difficult probably for us to understand at the time of death what kind of pain one must be going through and what to talk about Bhishma Dev. But in spite of that situation also, he is remembering all these personalities. And especially it is very difficult that a father-in-law or a mother-in-law glorifying his or her daughter-in-law. It's a very, very rare phenomenon. But here, Bhishma Dev is very sensitively amongst all the people, so many people. Kunti Devi was not so significant in that sense, because Pandavas were the people he was counseling. The previous verse, we can actually see that, how Bhishma Dev was counseling. But he, with great remembrance, he is actually praising his own daughter-in-law and talking about her, you know. So he talks about the distress which she went through, the early distress. So what was the early distress for her? Because the Pandu's death, she was having 5 children, 3 from her, and Madhuri also had 2 children. And after Pandu's death, Madhuri said that, okay, I won't be able to take care of these children the way you will take care. It's not an easy thing. It is very difficult to raise one child, what to talk about 5 children, and that too in this kind of adversity. So, her husband leaves, her co-wife, she leaves, and she is now left with handling these 5 children, that too in the forest. It's not a place which is easy to handle such kind of situation. So, in this verse also, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that, you know, and when her children were grown up, she continued to suffer because of her son's actions. So, one may think that, how come that, you know, she is suffering with the actions of Pandavas? So, that doubt may come. But we have to understand that how this situation took place. So we can look at the distress which can cause by children. The various situations where the children can cause distress for the parents. And we can see from the example that how Chitraketu Maharaj, he was actually looking for a son. And after having son, he was suffering. And there are people like Dhritarashtra or even Angam also. Dhritarashtra had Kauravas, and Anga, he was having son like Vena. So having such kind of a son, which are demoniac sons, is also a suffering. But greater distress is that when you have sons which are good sons, like how your Kunti Maharani is saying that, you know, this her son was not a, sons were not bad. Or Hiranyakashipu was distressed because he had good son like Prahlad Maharaj. So we can see the differences, how different people can suffer in this situation. So the Pandavas, they were born in the forest. They were not born in some palace. But what are the qualities which they developed? They developed the qualities of humility, gratitude. They knew that how difficult this life is. Whereas the Kauravas, they were born in a palace, and they were raised in how they were raised. So this is the different parenting part, that they were raised in more of arrogance. But in this situation, why Pandavas were suffering? Because they were suffering because they were surrounded by people which are evil minded, like Kauravas. And sometimes it is very difficult when you are a good person and you are surrounded by people who are of evil nature or thinking, always thinking negatively, how I can destroy you. It's not an easy thing. And in that situation, being good, one option is that, okay, I start following what they are doing so that they are also happy. If they are following wrong path, let me also follow the wrong path so that I can make them happy. But they were not. They are virtuous. They are dharmic. The dharma was their main principle. Whereas Gandhari's son, they were not following any religions, principles. So, this is where we start thinking that in Bhagavad Gita course, that why, you know, bad things happen to good people. We can see in our day-to-day life also that whenever people who are doing more of social services, somebody who is in the police or somebody is in the army or navy, you know, there is always a fear or this thing that, okay, something can happen to this, my son. The parents were always thinking that my son is going now for the war or to the border. Any terrorist can attack and he may get killed. So there is anxiety for that. There is a suffering because of that. And a thief or a criminal, his parents are also suffering. Because they are also thinking that, oh, you know, he may get caught up, he may go to the jail or he may be killed. So the suffering is there for everyone. So, if we look at it from the spiritual aspect also, there are three types of suffering all of us know. That how adhyatmik, adhidaivik, adhibhautik, all three kind of sufferings are there. One is on the body or mind level, you know, people are suffering. We see from the scriptures how Prahlad Maharaj was also put into such kind of suffering on the bodily level or mind level also, how Hiranyakashipu was harassing him in various ways. Similarly, even Dhruva Maharaj, when he was, he wanted to sit on the throne in a very casual manner, like how the children are moving, they just come and sit on the father's lap. But he was insulted. So, you know, the more on the mind level or the other living entities. So, there are always these sufferings are coming from various levels. And there is a suffering which is at the spiritual level also. Now, how do we understand this part of spiritual level? Is whenever we are not connected with Krishna, with the Lord, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then there is a suffering. Till the time we were not connected, by the mercy of Prabhupada we got connected, and other Vaishnavas, but till that time, we were actually suffering on a spiritual level also. And as now also, it's not that it has stopped. Because as soon as we get disconnected from this spiritual level, we start, the suffering again begins. So sometimes, these sufferings of immediate nature, we see the immediate cause. Okay, because of this person I am suffering. Sometimes, we are able to understand, okay, this is my karma. Or this is because of the forgetfulness of the Lord. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this is Dukkhalayam Ashvasanam, this house, this world is full of miseries. It is our choice that we made, that we came here. This is one of the reasons. And sometimes we are carrying all these irrational beliefs that, okay, this should happen this way, that should happen that way. And if that doesn't happen, then we start suffering. So this is more on the mental level. And I was listening to one of the lectures of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said that all of us are actually suffering, we are having skin disease. So I was surprised, like why Prabhupada is saying like this? And Prabhupada said, the skin disease means that we are all on bodily level. We are always suffering because that we are connected. We feel that we are this body and not the soul. And that's why we are always suffering. And he then jokingly said that there is a tablet. Prabhupada was from the pharmaceutical industry before. So he said that anacin tablet. I don't know how many of us still know about this anacin tablet. But earlier days, yes, people know from other earlier generation that there was anacin tablet. So any pain, so there was advertisement that, okay, you know, take anacin and it will go away. So Prabhupada was saying that this anacin tablet was there, but now this it is nowhere. People are need to take, especially that time Prabhupada was talking about Western world, they have to take so many other tablets and which we can't even know the names also to be peaceful. Just to be peaceful, we have to survive on tablets. Of course, this is the situation now here in India also, that there are people who are suffering from mental diseases. So always things are there. So these sufferings, why they come us? Thus, that we have to start thinking that we have to now transcend from this bodily level to the spiritual level. So for pure devotees, why this suffering comes? Because the Lord wants to glorify them. How they are tolerating these sufferings, how they are coping up with these sufferings. You know, and they set an example for us. And for us, it is to remind us that, okay, you are at the wrong place, you need to get out. Many times people come and how we deal with them at that particular time, they start feeling, oh, that why this person is willing, he doesn't want me here. So that's the way we deal with them. And that's how they say that, okay, let me not be here. If somebody deals with you, you come to the temple for the first time, and somebody deals with you in a wrong manner, you don't feel like coming back again to the temple. So these are the things. So reacting to suffering, how we normally react. So when any suffering comes on us, we start thinking, okay, we take it very emotionally. Okay, this is happening with me. But when it happens with somebody else, we are more on the practical. Like yesterday, Dindarang Prabhu was talking about that how we deal with sufferings. That either we say that, okay, we either listen to them or we tell them, "Arre, tumhara aise mere jyada mera suffering hai." So we compete in that also. Mera suffering bada. So these are the different kind of sufferings and these are the dealings which we are listening. So this is depends on our consciousness. If you are in a mode of goodness or passion or ignorance, then our coping or our reaction to the suffering changes. So this belief, what we have, or consciousness what we have, it changes our behavior. So some people, especially when we are on the platform of I am the doer, some people react by blaming or complaining. So this can happen on the self. The self-blame is one of the things. In the previous verse also, it is mentioned that how Yudhishthir Maharaj, actually this was the counseling which Bhishmadeva was saying that, oh, what terrible sufferings and what terrible injustice your good soul suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You know, so he was actually lamenting, Yudhishthir Maharaj was lamenting that, you know, because of me all these things happened. The whole massacre, this whole war took place because of me. So he was taking everything on him. So blaming himself. Of course, he was taking the responsibility, not in a very negative way, but still he was in that condition. Then there are people like Karna who are always blaming others. You know, and we also do this, that when something happens, we start blaming others. But Karna was also doing this. This happened to me, that happened to me. Because of this, I am like this. So this is the blaming others, the situation. And there are people like Krita Dyuti, the wife of Chitraketu Maharaj. Yeah. So when her son died, you know, she started blaming and cursing that, okay, that this Lord is inexperienced. Isko aata nahi hai kuch. When normally in the any leader, if he makes mistakes, then immediate reaction from most of the people is that अरे ही इज सच अ पर्सन, ही इज एज अ लीडरशिप लेवल इज सिटिंग देयर एंड ही इज डूइंग दिस मिस्टेक. सो ही इज द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, ही हैज क्रिएटेड एवरीथिंग, शी नोज दैट, बट स्टिल शी इज सेइंग दैट ही इज इनएक्सपीरियंस, ही इज इनसेंसिटिव, नॉट मर्सीफुल. सो एवरी टाइम वी चूज टू कंप्लेन लाइक दिस, वॉट हैपन्स इज वी वॉलेंटरली अरेस्ट अवर ग्रोथ. We get into the mode of that self-pity that, okay, this happened and I can't do anything. So that's what actually happens. Another way people start reacting is by cursing. They start cursing that, okay, you did this. I mean, we can see the example of Gandhari, how she cursed Krishna. That, you know, because of you, this my son died. She did not see that what they were doing, but she simply just cursed. Or even Sringi. You know, just because his father was treated like this, immediately cursed. So this is one other thing. Hiranyakashipu, he had such a great resent because he was resenting because his brother was died. He knew all philosophy. He spoke all the philosophy to his, Hiranyakashipu's relatives, wives and other children and everyone. But he was resenting that, okay, you did this, now I am going to kill Vishnu. So he had that audacity and he was reacting that way. Kaikeyi was lamenting. Now when she realized that what blunder she did, then she realized that, you know, now this has happened, everything, Lord Ram has gone out and the whole Ayodhya, Raja, they are blaming. And then her reaction that she was lamenting for these sufferings which are coming. And sometimes we respond by fear. We can see how Sugriva, when he was suffering, he knew that Vali is so strong and he has taken away his wife and everything. So he was in so much of fear till he met Lord Ram and Vishnu Lakshman. There is a book which is written by Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. And in that, he shares his experiences in how when he was in the concentration camp, he was about to put in the gas chamber. And he was telling that out of fear, so many people died there just out of fear. And he said that this is the choice which I had to make, that how I can stay alive. So he was constantly, there is a hope. And that's how he survived. And the day he was supposed to be put into the gas chamber, that day, the news came that Hitler died. And he survived. And after that, then he wrote this book and so many other psychological things which he gave. So, you know, how we respond, it depends. So various ways people react to the sufferings. But how do we cope with the suffering? To cope up with that suffering, we should take it as a challenge. We can take it as a challenge and say that, okay, let me do my part. I'm going through these various emotions. What choice I have? What belief what I have? We have these beliefs because of many things. Our upbringing, society, people, what our learnings we got early in our life. So that way we create beliefs. And that's how we react. Right? So, one is that irrational belief sometimes which we create that, okay, I need to solve all the problems in my life. Whether I have control, it is in my control or not, we try to do that. And when we try to do that, what happens is that we start having that expectation from ourselves that, why I am not doing it? And we suffer because of that. So, sometime we, it is better to accept these sufferings than to avoid it. So, like we can again see the example of Chitraketu Maharaj. What was he doing? He wanted a son, so he was getting married so many times. Thousands of lakhs of times he got married. Very difficult now. One marriage is difficult. But he was doing that. And after having that, he was not having son. He did all yajna, got the blessings of the sages, and finally got a son also. And what happened after having son? Again, so much of misdirecting, envy, anger, which was coming towards him. And his wife and on the son also. The result was the son was killed. Then again, that was the challenges, you know. So he was suffering in spite of all these things. So instead of tolerating that, obviously he was given the good wisdom again by Narad Muni. So all the problems we face, all the miseries we face, don't have solutions. So some things we have to leave it to time, and some are for actually our purification. This karma and instruments of our karma, this cannot be avoided. And as we don't have a choice also there. And that's why it is said that pain is inevitable. It is going to come because it is dukkhalayam. But the choice is there, whether we have to suffer from that or not. And if you look at Kunti Devi, how, or any other great personalities also, how did they face these things? So they took shelter of the great virtues, of course the Lord also, and the prayers. But they were looking at humility or forgiveness, gratitude, tolerance. That is the way they were choosing. So they made the choice. And what was her belief? That if I surrender to Krishna, he will protect. And believing in this belief is actually the nishtha, and at the highest level it is the prema. In Shikshashtakam also we actually hear that, you know, Ashlisha Avata Padaratam Pinashtumam. So that what is the faith? That Krishna, anything happens, Krishna, you are there. Whatever you do, you will protect me. So having that belief in this belief is very important. So let us touch upon some of the attributes of this tolerance, because in the purport, Prabhupada is talking that these are the sufferings, and you know, by providence, but we, the only way is to tolerate. So how this tolerate is arising from different feelings, different emotions. Sometimes the tolerance is coming out of love. And we can see that, you know, how parents, many times, they tolerate the children. You know, right from beginning stage, sometimes when the child is born and the child doesn't sleep at night, you have to tolerate. And people often say, okay, now this is over. Within few months, this will get over. It will get into routine. But it's not that. The suffering continues. You know, there are different challenges at different stages. Then the child gets into teenage. There are different challenges. They are young. There are different challenges. So that those challenges don't end. Of course, there is a reverse way now that the children also have to tolerate their parents. So another thing, if you ask children, they say, I have to tolerate my parents in different way. So that is, you know, tolerance which has come out of love. Tolerance which comes out of fear. I can't do anything that, you know, because sometimes it's such a that somebody is at authoritative level and who is telling you that, okay, you have to do this. You can't do anything, you can't say anything, but you have to tolerate that way also. And sometimes it is helplessness. Pandavas, they were seeing that Draupadi was getting disrobed in the whole assembly of so many people. And they were helpless. They were just tolerating that. It was, internally they were not tolerating all these things, but they had to externally at least tolerate that thing. And sometimes it is in ignorance. The tolerance comes out of ignorance. That Dhritarashtra, if you look at him, that he was completely in ignorance and tolerating his sons, whatever they are doing, because he wanted his ulterior motive. So he had both ulterior motives as well as he was in ignorance. And there is a tolerance which is out of compassion also. Lord Nityananda, he was seeing that how this Jagai and Madai, they were beating him, you know, Haridas Thakur. All these things were happening. But just because of that compassion that he wanted, that what is the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for that he was tolerating. So that's another aspect. So there are various things because which make us start thinking how we should tolerate. Now another aspect is that of tolerance is there internal tolerance and there is external tolerance. So what is internal tolerance? So Rupa Goswami talks about it in the first verse of Nectar of Instruction. Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, you know. So sober person, basically he talks about that a sober person can tolerate the urge of speak, then mind's demands, the action of anger, urges of tongue, belly and genitals. So this is more of an internal tolerance. We have to tolerate these urges. And Prabhupada writes, in order to execute our spiritual consciousness to Krishna or Krishna consciousness, we should learn to tolerate. And Prabhupada also mentions that this whole life cycle of us is birth, old age, disease and death. And it is full of duality. It's not that, you know, we have to face duality. And when duality means what? It's like a balloon, you know, which is left free, which is going up and down. There's no control. Sometimes it goes up, sometimes... So these are all dualities and one has to tolerate those dualities. And the death is the most painful thing. The suffering is at the time of death. And if we have to prepare for that, then the tolerance is required. And that is more of an internal tolerance which is involved. Because if we are internally strong, then we can externally manifest that tolerance. And that's why it is said that one's greatness is ability to tolerate the provoking situations. So we have to have that internal tolerance. And what is external tolerance? So I was just referring, seeing one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam from 11:22-61. And this is the conversation between Uddhava and Krishna. And here he is saying that, I'll just read out that, O soul of universe, the conditioning of one's personality in material life is very strong, and therefore it is very difficult even for learned men to tolerate the offenses committed against them by ignorant people. And this is what actually happened with the Pandavas also, right? Only your devotees who are fixed in your loving service and who have achieved peace by residing at your lotus feet are able to tolerate such offenses. So these are external offenses which are coming in the life of devotees or any people also. And I remember one quote by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj also. So he says that our spiritual life is nourished by taking some inconveniences for higher purpose. And we can only survive by tolerating inconveniences. So here, like a sadhakas, we have to become like a spiritual commandos. So if you look at the commandos or people who are in army, what are they doing? So they are constantly going through this kind of practice, the sadhana, or, you know, so that whenever they go in the war, sometimes they have to tolerate the pain, they get hit by the bullets, or sometimes they are caught and they are tortured. And when they are tortured, they don't want to open their mouth and speak what is the plan for the war. They can't. So for that, they have to be prepared. So as a spiritual commandos, we also are, you know, constantly attacked by Maya and all unwanted things. But if we have to fight with that, we have to prepare internally so that we can tolerate these external attacks. And that's why this thing, you know, why that we always say that pain is unavoidable, but suffering is optional. So what is the outcome, you know, of this tolerance? When we start tolerating, you know, especially the frustration tolerance ratio, when that increases, our emotional strength to handle that, it increases. So when we tolerate, like we can see from the example that how Haridas Thakur, he was tolerating, he was beaten up and he was tortured, but he was still tolerating and responding with compassion. He had the choice of responding any other ways. What was he doing? Because of that, he was transforming the heart of the soldiers who were actually torturing him. he was protected by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And earlier also, when the prostitute was there, he was tolerating that attack of this prostitute. And when, not just tolerating, but transforming that woman to a devotee. So, we can see that how different personalities they have tolerated different situations and transformed. Srila Prabhupada is the greatest example how he tolerated. He was on the Jaladuta, he was suffering, and he could have easily said that, okay, I am having so many heart attacks, health issues, let me get down at some harbor and let me go back and get admitted to some hospital, or, you know, let me take care of this. But what was the outcome of this tolerance? He went there. Of course, the tolerance continued. His suffering was there also. What we have got today is ISKCON because of Srila Prabhupada's tolerance. And that is why we are here. But what, when we see, if we start looking at what he went through to give us this, and we sometimes fight for small issues that, okay, we don't have tolerance, I can't stand you, being next to me, you know, or doing this service with me. This is where sometimes we fall into prey of this kind of our egos. So, while we are discussing about this, we have to also think, is it that we should just keep tolerating everything? And this is a question which many people ask and they start thinking about this. Krishna also says in second chapter that Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Shitoshna Sukha Dukada. He's telling that, okay, all this winter, summer, it will come, we have to tolerate. In this verse, actually, he is calling him as Kaunteya and Bharat. He is calling Arjuna, son of Bharata. So why these specific things? The very important thing we need to understand is that Krishna was telling Arjuna, you fight. Don't tolerate this thing. And Arjuna was actually willing. He said, no. Let me be in my comfort zone. I don't want all this fight. You know, they will suffer. They will die. I don't want to do this. So it was an easy way out, but Krishna was convincing him, okay, don't tolerate, you have to fight. So, very nice thing which I got to know from one devotee. So he said that one should not tolerate adharma, but tolerate the inconveniences or challenges arising when we don't tolerate adharma. So when we are not tolerating adharma and we have to follow the dharma, there are many challenges which will come. It is like walking or swimming against the flow. Everybody is walking the other way and you are crossing the other way. So there are the difficulty. That is where the challenges will come. When we are trying to cooperate with each other, it is always said that we have to cooperate with each other. But it is not so easy. When we start or think of cooperating, that is the situation where the challenges come, because there are different personalities with whom we are dealing. If you are doing some service alone, sometimes it is easier. But when we are doing it together, it becomes difficult, because everybody has a different nature. So it is important that we have to discriminate what to tolerate and what not to tolerate. We can see the example of from the how Lord, when Bhrigumuni kicked the chest of the Lord, he was so tolerating. The Lord was so tolerating. He was in fact asking that, okay, you might have got hurt. You know, his attitude was of that. So he's teaching that, okay, I need to tolerate this. But at the same time, when Ambarish Maharaj was getting offended by Durvasmuni, Lord did not tolerate that. And so this balance of tolerance is important. Prabhupada, in the initial days, the devotees were there. They were not even devotees. Prabhupada was tolerating everything, whatever they are doing. But once they became devotees, they started following. He said that, I want you to follow the four regulatory principles. I want you to chant. So he did not tolerate. And then when devotees started becoming having showing some kind of Sergia mentality, he did not tolerate that. Absolutely. Or they, when Prabhupada saw that they are fighting, quarreling, that there is a negative way of competing with each other, he did not tolerate that. Yeah. And when it came, like any project, Prabhupada, like the Juhu temple, Prabhupada fought like a lion. He did not say that, no, now it is not happening, let Krishna do. It was not, he did not just give up. So, this is another aspect that how the tolerance is need to be balanced. We have to understand what need to tolerate, what we should not. And sometimes this misdirected application of tolerance or misunderstanding what this tolerance is can create havoc. We have seen the Indian history how people, they suffered, you know, because they tolerated things which they should have not tolerated. So, these are the things which we have to think about. So, how do we tolerate, you know, that's one thing, one question is, how do we cultivate these things? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that we have to wear this, you know, garland of verse of Trinadapi Sunichena. So, what this means is that Amanina Manadena. So, that requires both the tolerance and humility. It's not easy that, you know, somebody is disrespecting you and still you go and give. There are different gradations. Still you have to go and give. You know, sometimes you have to worship them, help them. You can't tolerate, but you have to still do it. So that is the purification one has to go. So what is not tolerance? So tolerance is not like being passive. Tolerance means one has to keep small things small and focus on the bigger picture. Focus on the holistic picture. So sometimes we see that, you know, people undergo some surgeries. And that surgery is like a very critical surgery. After going through that surgery, then they have to take rest. They are bedridden. They can't move, you know, or there is a pricking. No, these are all smaller sufferings. But people still complain, okay, ye ho raha hai, wo ho raha hai. But then the doctor has to say, no, you tolerate this because it is for the higher purpose. You are dealt with your heart, you are dealt with your kidney or your brain. So that is a major thing. The all small, small things, you just leave. So that is one thing which one can do. And of course, we should try our best, and if things doesn't work out, we have to just tolerate. We have to reconcile with ourselves that, you know, when situations, difficult situation comes, that we have to understand philosophically also that this is Krishna's desire, these are my past karmas, you know, which Krishna is trying to remove, and just a small token. So these understandings is what is important. So, another thing is that studying the life of great souls, the Mahajans or the Acharyas, and meditating on their actions. And when we start meditating, that this becomes great inspiration for all of us. You know, it increases our self-awareness, what I should be doing and how I should deal with that. That is what actually happens when we try to practice this. Philosophy or the knowledge is one aspect. It is like a vaccine. Like in COVID time, all of us have hopefully taken vaccinations. One dose, two dose, booster dose. So this is probably we may be thinking it is a constant recurring thing. But this is what actually for us also. If you look at it from a spiritual angle. We have to keep vaccinating ourselves through the spiritual doses by hearing Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, you know, with our sadhana. So these are things one has to do. So I was reading in one book that, you know, how in Mahabharata, like when Yudhishthir, when he was exiled, he lost everything and he was going, so he was, you know, dejected or frustrated. So the sages come into the picture and they gave him, they tell him the story of Nala, how he suffered and how he dealt with that. So Nala came back, he lost his wife, he lost his kingdom, but how he fought back. So when we take shelter, you know, when Yudhishthira Maharaj heard about this greatness of this character of Nala, he gained confidence that this problem, his problem was not unique. Many times we start thinking, okay, ye mera hi problem, ye kisi ko life mein aayega hi nahi. So he got to know about this, that no, not everything is unsolvable. And he gained confidence and that way. So rather than complain, he realized that he could deal with it. So I can, there is nothing greater problem than this. And I can also deal with that. So we have to do whatever it takes to tolerate and handle that particular situation. So one is philosophy, one is taking shelter of the Lord, the prayers, the internal aspect which is there. But one important thing which we have to do is, which we can in our practical situation, is the importance of association of devotees. And if we take shelter of the association of devotees, it really helps, because when we have somebody else with us who is willing to help us like a net, then it is easy to tolerate. Single-handedly one cannot tolerate it. But if there are devotees who are helping us, it becomes very easy. And that's where we are fortunate in this temple and now many other temples, there are devotee care system. So devotees who are suffering in various ways on the bodily level, physical, emotional. In our congregation, we have school, Gopal's Garden School, we have Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we have a counselor system, mentor system, all these things which are there to support at how to tolerate, because it is not sometimes easy. I just wanted to share one experience. Like many years back, I was in Mayapur Yatra and I was working in one of the corporates. And the Yatra was going very nicely. And one day evening after the class, I got a call from my boss. So it was very awkward time after 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, very rare. So then he called me. I said, why he is calling? So I just spoke to him. And then he told me that there is a downsizing which is happening in our organizations. They are, you know, removing people. So from our department also, there are people who have been asked to leave. So this is a common thing which happens in many corporates. So then I asked, what is it? So he said, yes, I'm sorry, but one of the names is yours. So I was so shocked. I said, what is the reason? I did my, targets were achieved. Everything was going well. What is it? He said, I don't know. It's just that they want to do it. So I was shocked and I started thinking, what will happen now? Because the source of income will stop and then I have to manage my things at home. How will I do it? How will I get my new job? Where will I go? And this is all happening in the Yatra. And I was disturbed. And next day, I was like, there was a lecture by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And it was going. And my mind was not there in the lecture. I was just thinking, what will happen? I was so disturbed. And fortunately, I was sitting behind and Gaur Gopal Prabhu was sitting in front, ahead of me. So I thought, what should I do now? And I was not so clear about my philosophical understanding. I was thinking, now these miseries have come, whether, you know, I should go and ask the Lord. No, then it is like for my own thing. So, and our service or prayer should be, we should be selfless, we should not think about this. So, those all kind of things were there. So, then I just approached Prabhuji and I just asked him that, Prabhuji, you know, I just wanted to talk to you. And I told him that this is what has happened and I'm worried and I don't know even to pray and ask. We should not go and ask to Gopinath that, okay, give me the job, you know. So, I was double-minded. So, then he told me very nicely, he said that, You pray, you tell that this is my condition, I am suffering, and I need to do so many things. I need to practice my devotional service, I need to take care of my family, my other responsibilities, and in this mind I will not be even probably even to do my sadhana also properly, you know, which was very prevalent because I was not able to even focus on the lecture what Maharaj was saying. So then he said that you should pray, and then only thing you should add is that, okay, whatever is best for me, you do it. That's it. So I was kind of relieved. Next day morning I went for Mangal Arati, and then I was just meeting one devotee. He was distributing book. I was not an Indian, but he was just distributing. I was just standing there and seeing what books he was giving, and I just, then generally he started talking to me, and again, you know, he told me that, I don't know why, but suddenly I just spoke to him also. Normally I don't speak to strangers about these things. People whom I know, I talk to them normally. But I just told him, and he said, do one thing, why are you so worried? You know, why don't you just do aarti, special aarti for Lord Narsingdev? And you write your prayers, you write everything, whatever you feel, you know, whatever you are going through, just write that. And it was like a, you know, suddenly a sudden eye-opener for me. Because I was not even thinking on those lines that I should do this. Now, this is the second time somebody is telling, okay, go and pray. So I immediately went, I wrote everything, I told my wife also that, okay, this is what I'm writing. And I just wrote and I gave. And this whole thing was happening. And I did my things. Somehow the yatra ended, I came back. And after I came back, then I realized that those people who were present here at that time, who were like, I was out of station, I was in Yatra in Mayapur, and those people, my other colleagues who were there, they were asked the same day that, okay, you come and you put your resignation now and you go. And I was not there. Because I was not there, they could not process this. So I was saved. And after I went back, the things started changing because my boss resigned. And the management started thinking that, okay, there is no one to take care of this. Now you have to take care of this. So the situation which was a suffering suddenly changed, shifted things to that I was like, okay, now you are the head. So like I was like, you know, meanwhile I was also searching for jobs and many things were happening. And I applied to a competitor company. I just called them because I had good relationship with those also. I just called that, okay, you know, there is a situation, I want to join. So they said, yeah, come down, you know, we'll have a chat and all those things. And they were almost ready to, willing to give me that offer. So then there was a situation whether I continue here, I go there. So again, I started praying that, okay, now I have to do something again for this. And somehow I took the decision to continue here. And within a month's time, I got to know that company, which is a big company, I can't take the name here, but a very big company, big group, and they decided after 1 month, they decided to close down that business unit where I was supposed to join. So you never know how, you know, how Krishna can take care of these things and Krishna's devotees. So I was so grateful that, you know, we have to have this kind of system where we can share with people, take their guidances to, so that we are clear. Because many times we are not clear when the sufferings come. That am I doing things right way? So this is, we are fortunate that we have this net which is created by Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, which are constantly protecting us, helping us to tolerate the sufferings. And this is the whole theme of this particular verse, that we have to tolerate the sufferings without being disturbed. And without being disturbed is something which we can do only with the shelter of the devotees and the Lord. So these are a few things which I just wanted to share. Those who are sitting here for such a long time, they really have a tolerance. Those who are on the net, they can switch off and they can go. But I think I can say that all of you are tolerant, you are tolerated whatever I am speaking. Of course, the words are pure, but I am not so much pure to talk about all these things. So thank you so much again for all of you, for your patience, for your tolerance. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupad ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram.